Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the GLP Analyst and Investor Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Monday, 19th of December, 2011. I would now like to hand the conference over to your host, Ms. Amrita Goel. Thank you, ma'am. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us to discuss our recent announcement that we are partnering with China Investment Corporation to acquire Modern Logistics facilities in Japan. We have published a press release, statutory announcement, and presentation reviewing the transaction on our website, glprop.com. And also, we have filed these items with the SGX. This evening, we'll hear from Jeff Schwartz, Chairman of the Executive Committee, who will review the transaction and strategic benefits to GLP, followed by Ming Mei, our CEO, who will further discuss the logistics facilities landscape in Japan and the strategic benefits of our partnership with CIC. We will then close the call with a Q&A session where we invite questions from both investors and analysts. I will now hand the call over to Jeff.
Thank you very much, Ambika. We are very pleased to announce that we are partnering with China Investment Corporation, or CIC, China's sovereign wealth fund, to acquire 15 modern logistics facilities in Japan from LaSalle Investment Management. This is a 50-50 joint venture between Global Logistics Properties and CIC, where GLP will serve as the managing member of the venture, providing asset management and property leasing services. The total consideration is 122.6 billion yen, or 1.6 billion U.S. dollars, with an equity requirement of 21.22 billion yen, or 272.9 million U.S. dollars, from each partner. This equity requirement is less than 1 year of the cash flow generated by our current Japan operations before this addition. GLP has substantial capacity to fund this transaction internally, with over 1.7 billion U.S. dollars of cash on the balance sheet as of September 30th. We have secured debt financing of 81 billion yen, or 1 billion U.S. dollars, from a consortium or group of Japanese domestic banks at a fixed interest rate of less than 1.5% for 5 years. We did not acquire the entire portfolio from LaSalle Investment Management. We specifically acquired the assets that met our investment hurdles, and only those assets. This acquisition is a continuation of GLP's strategy to establish our fund management platform, which we initiated, as you remember, earlier this year with Japan Development Joint Venture with Canadian Pension Plan Investment Board, or CPP. With our fund management platform firmly in place, we look forward to expanding our market presence in Japan. We will recycle capital within the market, allowing us to maintain or likely reduce our equity exposure in Japan over time. Next, I will turn it over to my partner, Ming Mei, to further discuss the strategic benefits to Global Logistics Properties of this joint venture.
Well, thank you, Jeff. We're very excited with this transaction, as Japan has been a market that has delivered stable and profitable returns for us. Since 2002, our Japan portfolio has been achieving 99% occupancy. We continue to see demand for logistics facilities in Japan growing as companies focus on becoming more efficient and competitive. This means that they need to have modern and efficient logistics facilities and also to minimize the risk of supply chain disruption. The 15 properties that Jeff had mentioned we're acquiring has a gross floor area of 771,000 square meters, and the portfolio is high quality and similar to our existing portfolio in Japan. Over 90% of space is located within the greater Tokyo and Osaka area. The portfolio has a strong tenant profile with 67% leased to third-party logistics providers and 13% to e-commerce companies. Current occupancy is 98.3% with a weighted average lease expiry of 5.6 years and weighted average building age of 6.9 years. After this acquisition, our Japan portfolio footprint will grow approximately 30% to 3.6 million square meters and will be almost 40% larger than our next largest competitor in Japan. We are very pleased to enter this transaction with CIC. This is their first real estate investment in Japan, and again, this speaks volumes of their trust in GLP as a manager, as well as their commitment to the logistics sector in this area. GLP is already the largest provider of modern logistics facilities in China, and we see this as the beginning of a relationship that could extend to other markets while we continue to expand our dominant network of logistics facilities across China. As such, this transaction has not only enabled GLP to achieve our strategic plans in Japan, but also set up to further our strategic ambitions in China. I will now pass it back to Jeff.
Thanks, Ming. Just to recap a few key highlights of this transaction. We're acquiring high-quality assets at an attractive price. In fact, a price that's approximately 9% below appraised value. This transaction is immediately accretive, and GLP will earn a 12% year-one cash-on-cash yield before fees, and that's with in-place rental rates that we approximate to be 3% below market today. Strategically, this acquisition is important as building our fund management platform is a key objective of ours. It is something we articulated at the time of our IPO. And this is our first time partnering with China Investment Corporation. We'll look to grow this relationship as we expand. Operator, now we'll open it up to questions. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the pound or hash key. Your first question comes from the line of Jonathan Xu from Barclays. Please go ahead. Excuse me, Jonathan Xu, your line is open. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi. Thanks for having me. I have actually two questions. One, I guess, is will the portfolio that you just acquired from them, will that be consolidated into your income, so top-line revenue, or not? And how soon do you expect it to start contributing? And then the second question is, what will be the average cap rate at which these 15 properties were acquired? I think that's it for me.
Nate, you want to start that, or?
Go ahead.
Okay.
We're still working on the accounting for this. Ralph, I don't know if you want to add in anything on the accounting
for the properties, whether they'll be considered to be on the, whether it be consolidated or treated on the equity method. But that's, Ralph may want to contribute to that. And the overall cap rate, I'm not sure if we, if we can disclose this or not at that time, but I'll leave both of those up to Ralph.
In respect of the accounting, that's something that we need to confirm still, but most likely I expect that it will be treated similarly like all our other fund management activities. Second part was on the cap rates, correct? We can't give you an exact cap rate. What we can say is that we see this as a very attractive pricing, and compared to the external appraisal report that we've produced and that we have produced, that we're buying is a significant discount, if you like, compared to the appraisal report. So for us, we see it as a very attractive pricing and a better cap rate at, call it, what we have seen in the market in the past.
Go ahead.
I think the last part of Jonathan's question was that would this be contributing? Yes, as we're talking to closing in first quarter calendar year next year, and we expect to contribute immediately.
And as we put in the release, it would have contributed $38 million U.S. dollars to PATMI, and that's with an exchange rate that's higher than today's exchange rate, because it was an average exchange rate over the last year. So today it would be a higher number than that.
Now we're using 85 yen to a dollar because that was the average exchange rate for the last financial year for us.
Right, thank you. And your next question comes from the line of Brahma McCallum from Macquarie.
Hi guys, it's Callum Brahma. Just running it off that quick number that you went through then, that $38 million, does that include any fee contribution or it does not include any funds management fee contribution?
That is inclusive. The $38 million at 85 yen to the dollar is inclusive of the fee, of the fees.
Okay. Are you able to just explain
There's no performance fee right. Included in this. This is just the asset management fee, so the promote interest is not included.
Okay, can you just talk about the fee structure then?
Well, we cannot reveal, but we can just say that that's more of a market standard.
So what's that, 50 basis points of assets under management? And
that's
and
true,
a fee based on net property income, or how does it work?
It's based upon a fee on assets under management, as well as leasing fees, property management fees, et cetera. And again, we don't disclose our exact fee structures on any transaction, but suffice it to say, it's market and it's market. But the most important thing is we're doing, if you look at our investor profile today, it includes GIC, CIC, and CPP. Arguably three of the four, if not the three best, but clearly three of the four or five best investors globally today on an institutional level.
Yeah, so just doing that quick calculation then, it would suggest to me that you've acquired it on a sub 5.5 cap?
Closer
to 5?
I think you need to run your math over again.
Yeah, it'll be easier if you guys were able to give it. The next question that I've got is just looking at the way that you'll structure it. So will you be receiving a cash dividend out of the fund, and will it be distributing 100% of the cash that it generates?
We're structured in a tax-efficient manner. There will be cash distributions on a semi-annual basis to both partners. And it will distribute out the cash available for distribution.
Okay. And can you just talk a little bit about the development potential in the portfolio, if there is any? And do you earn a development management fee as well?
To the extent there's any redevelopment within the portfolio, which there may be an opportunity to redevelop some of the sites, there is development management fees structured at market pricing that we find attractive, but is very fair to our partner, China Investment Corporation.
And do you believe that there will be development within the portfolio?
Our development fund is with Canadian Pension Plan, which we have $1.5 billion of capacity, as we talked about previously. But to the extent there's redevelopment and redevelopment opportunities, which there very well may be with one or two of the sites, they'll be done within this fund, and which will increase the returns even further. But I think if you, on your sub 5% cap, it's significantly higher than that.
No, not sub 5. I worked it out quickly. It's sort of about 5.5.
It's higher than that.
Okay. And just then, can you just talk a little bit about how you're going to structure the business? You're obviously going more into funds management now, and you're gearing the funds as well as you've got gearing on your balance sheet. It's not very high, of course, at the moment, but clearly this has presented a problem for a lot of funds management platforms in the past. Are you just able to talk about how you're going to structure going forward and look through gearing as well?
Well, on an overall basis, we're still very, very low geared on a at GLD on a look-through basis or any basis you look at, on a our leverage levels are extremely low. Our cash on hand is very high. We've got the strongest balance sheet in the industry by a pretty significant margin, and we were steadfastly committed to maintaining our investment grade rating. Our BBB+ rating is something that we hold near and dear to our heart. So on a look-through basis, I'd expect our overall gearing to stay long-term, and we're not even close to that today, at 40% or below as a company.
Look through, and that's so 40% or below, and you're doing that on a net debt to equity basis, or?
We're constantly very focused on credit quality, and we're not even close to those levels today, but yes.
Okay.
And that's on a net debt to gross asset value basis, just to clarify.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thanks very much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. And your next question comes from the line of Christopher G from J.P. Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, guys. Thanks for making time for this call.
Again, some clarification questions. You noted in the presentation a 12% cash and cash yield. Can I just confirm that that's after tax or before tax?
That is after tax, but before fees.
Okay, thank you. Second question was, I think Jeff mentioned a number that was that the portfolio being acquired is 3% below market rents, or was it
3.1%. Yeah.
Okay. And then the last thing was, I think closing was expected to be in the first quarter of next year or the first quarter of the fiscal year?
First quarter of the calendar year.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Last quarter of our fiscal year.
Right. Okay. And sorry, back to the cash on cash yield question, if I may. You've deducted the cost of debt being the 1.5% blended interest cost attributable to on the borrowing, 81 billion yen of borrowing. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Net. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's net cash yield.
Okay. I'm struggling to get much above 5.5% cap as well on this transaction. Might be worthwhile if we had an offline conversation as to the calculations that go into.
I think the biggest thing is because they're using 85.73. The 38 million is 85.73 yen to a dollar versus
right.
The actual exchange rate.
Got it.
So
okay.
If you're using current exchange rate, it's more of above 42 million. That's why I think that you're getting the numbers.
That's exactly the problem. If you use the 42 million, you end up with a number that has a different handle on the 5.
The reason, again, is for accounting purposes, because we have to use the exchange rate for the average of the last financial year for us, and that's what end up 85.73. But if you're using a current exchange rate, you get a different number.
Okay, great. Thank you. We'll sort it out.
Yeah, I mean,
thanks.
I think that's the same issue we had earlier when we were talking about that. But you know, because everyone's using the current exchange rate for the debt, we're using the current exchange rate for equity. And if you use it, apples to apples, like Ming said, you come up to the penny is closer to 42 billion.
For our purpose, for disclosure issues and everything, we have to use accounting numbers. That's the only reason this tripping everyone up.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right, thank
that's
you.
Exactly.
Thank you. And your next question comes from the line of Tata Goyadi from Relicare. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Just a quick question. Just in terms of strategy, so is going forward, are you just going to focus on China after this acquisition, or and can you just give us an update on how do you look to recycle the Japan market through private funds or Japanese REIT? Thanks.
Think you want to start with China? With China?
Yeah, I think we have always nothing has changed, and from what we have communicated from our IPO, that we've seen so much growth opportunity in China, and we continue to grow our business in China. So last year we started 1.2 million square meter starts, and then since we went IPO, we have made four major acquisitions, and then we're also adding 1.6 million square meter of new start this year. We expect to grow from this space 20-30% over the next 2-3 years. So again, we continue to see leasing momentum very strong. And we're seeing that we're actually leasing up faster than we can develop our facilities in China. So we don't see that change near mid to long term. We believe that this market is very much underserved, and with the focus on domestic consumption, we continue to see a lot of demand for facilities. Again, we also committed to build up our fund management platform. And again, Japan business have been very strong and very stable for us, and provide us the cash engine to recycle the capital into investing in China. So to answer your question, if the market if the window opens up for potential JREIT, that would be something that we continue to evaluate to recycle capital and to invest into China. This have not changed.
So, sorry, just to follow up. So, is it safe to assume that you will not be looking into another acquisitions in Japan in the near term?
I think to follow up on Ming's point, we are very focused on growing our China business. This is an unusual opportunity. There's only three great logistics portfolios, in our opinion, in Japan. Ours being being the largest even before this, the A&B/Prologis portfolio, which is was a little bit smaller than ours prior to this, and the Lim portfolio. And by buying the best assets from the Lim portfolio, it was a unique opportunity. We thought it was compelling returns, given the discount to appraised value, given the high going in cap rate, which is driven by the size of the transaction, the limited number of potential buyers for this size opportunity, and by the opportunity to partner with China Investment Corporation and do something that they find very attractive and create a strong partnership there. But that was a long way of saying our focus is going to be on maintaining or reducing our total equity exposure in Japan, growing out our development fund with CPP, which has extremely attractive returns, as you know, and growing our China business and other high-growth markets around the world. We're very, very focused on that.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Right, thank you. And your next question comes from the line of Andrew Parsons from Resolution Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Could you just perhaps elaborate a little bit on the nature of the joint venture in terms of what's its mandate and does it have a finite life, and could the interests of the joint venture go into a potential J-REIT?
I will allow, Ralph Essel, who's just joined us, who's our head of fund management, to answer that if you like. Ralph, since you haven't had a chance to talk much today.
Sure, thanks, Jeff. The nature of the venture is like when we started the investment management platform, we've all come to the conclusion that the way that you want to build a successful investment management platform, you've got to create the true partnerships. We've done that with CPP, and what we've done with CIC is basically a continuation of that. In terms of details about lifetime, etc., we will not be able to disclose the exact details. As mentioned earlier, our fees are at market. It is a true partnership. It is 50-50, and the intention of this venture is to acquire these assets and enjoy the cash-on-cash return.
So just to be clear, it's a static portfolio. You're not looking to grow it, or is there a mandate to grow it, or...?
There is currently no immediate mandate to grow this particular venture. So today you could say that it's a static acquisition and for this portfolio, but never say never. This is hopefully the beginning of a very good relationship that could lead into more.
And can the assets be used to help fund or seed a J-REIT?
In terms of the exit of this particular platform, as said earlier, we will not be able to disclose the exact details, but we have got the flexibility to explore any kind of exit scenario whenever the time is due, and a J-REIT theoretically could belong to the possibilities. But Jeff, I want to hand back to you in respect of the J-REIT conversations we had earlier.
I think our portfolio, our core portfolio outside of the joint venture, we're committed to building the fund management platform to over time having the majority, if not all of our assets in Japan in some sort of fund management structure, whether it be a publicly traded J-REIT or private funds. So I would look towards the core portfolio to see any sort of potential J-REIT on a go-forward basis and look at this as accretive or additive to the company, to GLP, the joint venture with CIC.
Thank you.
Right, thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Jonathan Shi from Barclays. Please go ahead.
I'm sorry, my question was already answered. Thanks.
Jonathan, thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. And your next question comes from the line of Ken Yeung from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Hi. I'm just have a questions on the gearing. Indeed, basically, the management or the company have been very aggressively looking for opportunities to expand aggressively in both China and Japan. I just want to ask if is there any change, because during IPO there is some ideas being told by Jeff on the target gearing level that you can continue to grow, continue to invest. Is there any change or any update on that? And basically, what more that you can go in terms of that kind of money that you can spend on to get to your target gearing levels? Thank you.
Well, Ken, our gearing is still extremely low, as you recognize from our last investor call at the end of last quarter. So there's, you know, one, with cash on hand, you know, we had $1.7 billion at the end of last quarter. As you know, we just raised the hybrid equity or hybrid debt, whatever you want to call it, but in Singapore, $500 million Sing at very attractive rate, so that brings our cash balance even higher than that. This takes less than 1 year's cash flow before you layer in the $42 million of PATMI from this. It's less than 1 year's cash flow. So this does not do much to move our cash balance. It does move it that significantly. So we are still very focused on keeping a very, very low, very conservative rate of gearing overall as a company. Nothing in our objectives has changed. In fact, this is a continuation of the strategy we highlighted and described during the IPO of building a world-class fund management platform with the greatest investors in the world, and we're off to a fabulous start with our first two investors within that fund management platform being CPP and CIC. Ming, anything you want to add to that?
I just want to tell Ken that, yes, what we have committed to you at the IPO, we have not changed. We are still maintaining the 40% leverage ratio or lower.
Or less. And we're a long way from that.
Your definition of leverage is total the net debt to total assets or net debt to equity or in terms of your target gearing level.
Total debt to total gross assets.
So will you consider the I don't know whether you call it associate debt, but for example, for this deal, there's a $1 billion U.S. dollar debt, which is unlikely to be consolidated if it's treated as an...
No, we always do it on a look-through basis as well.
So
this debt level is higher than our average company debt will be overall, but the opportunity to lock in... This is higher than we will average as a company, but the opportunity to lock in 1.5% five-year financing on... You know, with these kind of returns, we'll have lower leverage on other assets elsewhere where you can't borrow as attractively.
So do you have a number saying that if you consider all this kind of associate debt, what is kind of the net gearing level that your company now is?
Subsequent to this, we'll announce that at the end of the quarter, but it won't move our net leverage much. And B,
on an incremental basis, if you look at it on a see-through level, it increases our leverage by approximately 2%. So say approximately we were around 23%, so it takes us to 25%.
Right.
And a follow-up questions on the the potential K-pass on the on all this. Do you have an update on what is the ongoing K-pass that you're going to incur totally in your China portfolio?
You mean total investment? There's two types of CapEx.
Except the acquisitions, just the recurring CapEx.
Yeah.
That is
okay.
There's good. You know, to Ming's point, there's good CapEx and bad CapEx. Good CapEx
I think Ken's asking about the investment to new investment. But I just to explain to everyone that CapEx, there's
there's also capex for to maintain the project and the facilities. That number is very small for the size of the portfolio. We're talking about around $30 million, given the outsized over $10 billion worth of assets. You talk about $30 million to maintain the facilities, but the new investment into new assets and new land, we are targeting around $1 billion.
Okay.
For China.
Thank you.
Great, thank you. And your next question comes from the line of King Lin from BNP. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, gentlemen. I would like to ask if you have could give a little bit more clarity on the deal itself. Is there any penalty involved? And is the whole deal done on the asset by asset base or total portfolio?
I'm not sure if I understand the question completely.
Well, if there's any penalty involved, if one of the assets wouldn't be as good quality as expected, or is the whole due diligence already finished? Or
we have as the press reported months and months ago, we've looked at this for a long time, and we've completed full due diligence. Yoshi, Joseph, and his team in Japan, done a phenomenal job on due diligence. It's how we ended up with the best of the best assets out of this portfolio, how we ended up with the kind of returns that we think are extremely attractive and compelling, as does CIC, or else it wouldn't have been their first invest ever in China. But Yoshi and Ralph, I'll let you elaborate on that.
There were more in the portfolio that was on the market. We selected the 15 that we which cleared an internal hurdle rate, and the ones that we obviously felt comfortable buying, that and skipped the others that did not meet our internal requirements. So then we did went through a very thorough due diligence. We started the deal in March or April, and then we spent a good couple of months going through due diligence and checked all the details of the properties, and we only buying those. And it is a portfolio transaction. But the details of the contracts, the details of the penalties, whatsoever involved, is something we cannot disclose.
All right. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Great, thank you. There seems to be no further questions at this time. I'll hand the call back to Mr. Jack Schwartz.
Okay, well, on behalf of Ming and I, we'd like to thank everyone for joining us today and once more reiterate how excited we are about this. We think the returns are compelling. And we apologize for the fact that there was a little bit of apples and oranges with the number, with a lower PAPI number than the real number. The real number is closer to $42 million, which explains why everyone was coming up with yields significantly lower than the going in cap rates or non-leverage investment yields. But, given the strategic nature of the partnership with China Investment Corporation, the fact that we now have CIC, CPT, and GIC as our three core investors between our private equity business that is fast growing, as well as being bedrock investors in the stock, makes us very comfortable. And the returns here, the opportunity to buy one of the other two great portfolios in Japan at very attractive pricing, make this at, and the returns involved, the financing that we were able to achieve, which by the hard work of our Japan team, makes all this a very compelling story for us, very exciting story for us. Positions us well to grow our fund management business, positions us well to continue to grow in China with strong strategic partners going forward, and something that both Ming and I are very, very, very excited about.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.